Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast, brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello and welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the Cardiff City podcast from Wales Online, brought to you in association with Giovanni's. And we're now an award-nominated podcast. Thank you to those who, we put ourselves forward. Thank you to those who chose us to be shortlisted for a Welsh Media Award. And well done to Nathan Blake and Paula Bandonato.
And Dominic as well.
Well, it's a team effort.
Is your brother coming today?
Who's my brother?
Oh, I just, with that clean shave, those eyebrows
Nathan
all
plucked and styled.
Nathan thinks
I look different
because I've had a haircut. And the haircut. You look young, handsome Dominic.
Dominic looks about 16, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to spruce up and see if I can win this award, you know?
You look fantastic, mate. Well, if you're up on that stage, there'd be an award for a James Bond lookalike.
Prepare our victory speech.
No, hang on, let's make it clear.
No, we haven't won
nominated.
Yet.
It's a very worthwhile... three-pronged shortlist. The others are justifiably there as well.
And we're only there because of our listeners.
Yeah,
remember,
we're delighted to be there.
So big thank you to the boys, the ladies, the children, everybody who listens in.
It's been a good year for Blakey's Boot Room and a good week or so. For
and a great
City.
Win!
Let's get on to Southampton. Yeah. We'll obviously be talking later about the relegation picture as a wider issue. But Nathan, late drama... such an important win in the context of things.
Well, I think sometimes, like we spoke about Emiliano, and we spoke about sometimes things are just bigger than football. And I think the off spin of that is the boys seem to be in a frame of mind which is up and above their normal. Now they're a very determined bunch anyway. And they often score late goals. You know, it's something that you can't aim at Cardiff City, is that fitness.
Well, they score plenty in the last minute, yeah.
They always go to the very end, right? I did hear Gabs and somebody else speaking a few weeks ago saying, oh, Cardiff's fitness and what have you. And I thought, oh, what are you talking about? Because, you know, that's something, Gabs, that Cardiff this season and under Warnock have been fit and go to the very end. They're 98 minute team, like, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not a fitness thing. So that surprised me a little. But going back, I just thought that win had so much more significance than just a 3 points win. You know, it's almost like the two games, the boys have said, we're not losing this. Come hell or high water, it doesn't matter what happens. If we have to run through brick walls, we are prepared to do it. We're going to do. And they just elevated their whole... I don't know, the whole being is just elevated, seems to be, to me. And
people use the word galvanised. That really does seem like they have been galvanised.
It's partly, you know, largely because of the tragedy. Because, you know, you're feeling like you're doing it for someone more. It's bigger than just us and Cardiff City. You know what I mean? There'll be a greater meaning to it at the end.
Yeah.
If Cardiff survive, you know what I mean? It'll all wrap up into this, you know, unprecedented story. Really, do you know what I mean? Situation that none of us want to be in ever. I just think, you know, that performance against Southampton was just a wow. I was in the garden. Yes, I was in the garden, just potching around, doing some work, tidying up. Had the radio on. 1-0 up, and was like saying to myself, I'd start to think this is it. And then obviously they score, you know, threw down a few bits and bobs in the garage, was like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Had a little pace up and down, and I could hear the Southampton fans celebrating over the microphone as well. And I thought, oh, I'm so lucky, so lucky. then, of course, when the winner goes in, Kenneth, I just thought, well,
you know,
I was actually had a little dance up in my garage, a little, dropped a few booze. Oh, if you'd seen the video, mate, you would have thought, really?
That would have gone viral.
Oh, it would have, but fantastic, mate.
It feels like a good time to talk maybe about how you reacted, Paul, because you and I were at St. Mary's covering the game. And to see your man Zahor pop up at a moment like that, I mean, you were digging me in the ribs when fans were celebrating, trying not to go slightly over the top in the press box. It was a delightful moment, wasn't it?
It was. Well, obviously, we're in the press box. If I can set the scene, we're in the press box. We're right in the middle of all the Southampton fans.
Yeah.
We're right in the middle of the Southampton fans. Now, in the press box, you're meant to be neutral. But in the current climate, with what's happened with Salah, with the way that club has unified and everything, you cannot help but get caught up in it. I'm a human being like anybody else, yeah? Mm. And although I retain my professional sort of neutrality, if you like, you can't help but get caught up in a situation like that, particularly when it involves Ken Zahor, his corners, you both know I've batted for so long.
Yeah, well.
And I just, it was Cardiff had won the game, it was snatched from them, and I suddenly had visions of Southampton actually getting a winner, Blakey. Mm. So Cardiff went at the other end. I know Neil Warnock wanted them to go in, or somebody on the coaching wanted them to go into the corner to waste time, but No, they got the ball in the box, got the break, Zahor scored, and I'm just conscious of, I can't really shout too loud with all the Southampton fans around.
I think I would have lost
it, mate. But I turned to my left, and there's silence around me. Although I'm sort of, Tom, he's done it, get in there, he's done it. And then I just turned to my left, and Rob Phillips was there at the BBC, and he was
high-pitched.
I could see he was, I thought, well, if he's doing it, I'm doing it as well. So.
Yeah.
It was one of those moments, wasn't it? And the celebrations, and the reaction of the Cardiff fans, 3,000 of them at St. Mary's. Their reaction, even when Bamba's goal went in, he dived into the crowd, some fans celebrated with him and broke his glasses.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
And then at the end,
I see they were looking for it afterwards as well.
Well, I think Cardiff actually, credit to them, offered to pay for a new pair. I think they got Specsavers involved or something. Yeah, so that was nice. But the scenes at the end, Blakey, with the singing Salah's name, just the fans staying behind to sing.
Well, they've done it all season, Dom. It's like, and like I said, this the whole Emilio situation is just, it's just heightened everybody's senses, you know. It's almost like everyone understands that football is not a matter of life or death. Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not, it's important, but it's not that important. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, I could hear them singing over the microphone, hear the fans singing, like I said. It was just a great occasion. Even I'm not there, not being there, it was a great occasion. But can I just break down two things about the goal?
Yes.
Whose goal?
Kenneth's goal. Yeah. Two things, right? Two really significant things, I thought. One was Camarasa's touch.
Yeah.
Right? A little foot on top of the ball whilst under pressure, set for a shot, right? Kenneth's shot, regardless whether it was not the cleanest strike or whatever, the most significant thing for me, can you tell me, after he scores?
When I'm back?
I'm back, yeah.
Which obviously we're not aware of in the press box because he's mouthed that to the fans.
Back, right? Yeah. That's telling me, I know I've been somewhere, wherever he's been, because I've said on the show previously,
back to the party, I think.
I don't know what to say now. You don't know where to go. You don't know what he's thinking, whatever. So whether he's had injuries or this or that, I don't know. I don't know whether he's had a lack of confidence or whatever. But mouthing those words, I'm back, was really significant to me because I've been in situations where he's not scored for a few games and, you know, the fans start to lose faith in you a bit. And that, under those circumstances, scoring at that time, you know, managers always say, he needs one to bounce off his knee or his back backside, of his head or his backside. You know, sometimes you need, I always say, you need a moment. Yeah, you need a moment. That is probably the most significant moment of this season. And he's right at the top of it. I expect from there, I expect Kenneth. It's not a, I want to do it for Emiliano, but it's, like I said again, it alludes to the fact that, okay, football's not that serious. And whatever my confidence issue was, you know, I can get rid of that.
I mean, that was a small problem. There's a bigger meaning in the context of things,
right? Yeah, and I'm just gonna. I tell you what, whatever happens, happens. I'm just gonna take the gloves off and I'm just gonna go for it. And I loved that. I loved when I seen him mouth that. I rewound it probably three times.
See,
and thought it just gave me a tingle.
See, I'll say two things there. I mean, as you both know, I've battered a horse corner more than most, yeah, which is why I was particularly delighted to see him score. Yeah.
But Paul's a horse, is that?
More than anyone.
I spoke to Neil Warnock afterwards and put it to him, right, can Ken kick on from here the way that you're describing, Blakey, yeah?
Mm.
And I think it's fair to say, Dom, there was no more than qualified encouragement from Warnock, whose words were something along the lines of, well, he's got to get in the team first.
Mm.
And I know that's a statement of fact, but he wants to see a lot more. It's quite evident he wants to see a lot more still. What I will say is, if I've got a criticism of Neil Warnock, it's that I think his substitutions are too reactive rather than proactive as a general rule of thumb, Blakey.
Mm.
I think, you know, Dom and I predict what subs are going to take place every game, don't we?
Yeah,
and
so we do.
Like, he'll come on for him, you know, right? But this time, he was absolutely proactive. At 0-0, he sent Zahor on.
For Bobby Reid.
Now, when Bobby Reid was coming off, you know, you would think the natural thing would be Camarasa would come on and play in that 10 role, but no, he sent Zahor on, he dropped Nias a bit deeper, and he was excellent again, by the way, Blakey. And suddenly, do you know what, just watching those two for the 10-15 minutes they had together on the field, you're seeing two with power, two with pace, two with ability to run behind.
Something that Southampton were aware of and ready for.
Blakey, if I was a defender, I would not want to be playing against those two.
Mm.
Well, it was smart from Warnock, because Reid, as well as he's been playing, it didn't seem like the game for him. I think the three big centre backs from Southampton, Vestergaard, Bednarak, and Stevens, were sort of bullying Reid out of the game a little bit.
Mm.
So to get someone on with Zahor's bulk and not lose what Nias was offering, which was run down the channels, running behind. Mm-hmm. And Nias, we noticed as well, Paul, he was screaming at people to say, that's where I want the ball.
Yeah.
Play it there, I'll make that run. Mm-hmm. And that's something which that Zahor doesn't really do.
Well, Ken can do that, but Callum Patterson doesn't do that because he hasn't got the pace to run in behind.
And he hasn't played that role as much as Nias.
You know, the defenders were being... We could see it happening in front of us. He was having a real good defender saying, I want it down that channel.
Mm.
He was prepared to just music run his
Neil
socks off.
He hears that, trust me.
Mm.
Yeah.
That is music to
but his there's no reason why Zahor can't do that as well.
Zahor does do that.
Yeah.
But he just hasn't done it for a long time.
He hasn't had the confidence to do what Nias did and shout at
the reason why they got promoted and the reason why he had such a good season was because, well, he had a good, say, two seasons or season and a half, didn't he, Kenneth? But it was because he is prepared to hold up the ball and, like we've said, stretch teams long. That's what he does. That's why Cardiff was so effective. That's why it's been very difficult for them to be as effective without someone who's going to stretch the team. Now they've got Reid and Nias who's stretching.
Yeah.
And in Nias they've got a striker who can look after himself, is experienced, and can score goals, and loves to run the
challenge. Like he was doing such, you know, just doing classic centre-forward play of just holding it up, getting nudged, win the free kick, team regroups, comes up,
moves up. Because they still
instead of it just coming back time and
they still
time
only had 30-odd% possession in the game, Cardiff.
Mm.
You know, and you know, you think, well, you just can't get it done off those sorts of numbers. But you know, clearly they did. Great spirit, and you know,
you can't be a late winner, can you? For morale boosting, for momentum. I know it's a break now for Cardiff, but they will take the confidence of that and their league position into the next two winnable home games. Blake.
Absolutely, I looked at the games and I thought every day winnable, and a special mention as well for my boy Mustafa. Lion King.
Bakuna?
Saul.
Oh, Saul.
What a performance, mate. What a...
I just
love him, mate. I just love everything about him. That I've always said it since he came to the club. He is the driving force. I don't care what anyone says about captaincies, whatever. He is the club captain of Cardiff City. And his reaction afterwards... After he scored, after Kenneth scored, even he is like, you know, right, you know, he's not on the, oh, well done. He's like, right, this is what we want from you. This is it, like, you know. And I, I just love that. It just makes me want to grip my teeth and get in there.
To jump into the crowd the way he did. I mean, how often do you see that these days? Well, to leap over a barrier.
Can I say to you, though, Paul, that's when the people say the best thing about football, and I say scoring goals, because, you know, when you score goals of that sort of importance, I couldn't tell you what I had done for about 30 seconds to a minute between scoring and like walking back to the halfway line.
Yeah.
Like I there's a video clip of me when I was younger on YouTube, and I seen it last year for the first time. And my favourite part is when you score goals is watching the Cardiff fans go nuts. To be able to put that much energy, joy, love, everything, passion, all into one moment, just for like that 20 seconds when they go wild. It's like they're all stood, and then you see them like move slightly because they think the ball's going in, so they're heading it or kicking it. And then it's just an eruption of absolute mayhem. I love that. I can watch that all day.
And what made it different this time was, you know, very often Cardiff fan, you know, like at Newcastle, they're stuck up, you know, right at the top.
Yeah.
Or they're stuck in a corner, or at Crystal Palace on the side of the
pitch. They're accessible,
this,
aren't they?
This time, if you imagine behind the goal, from where the one goal post was, almost to the corner flag, that was full of Cardiff fans. So they were coming across halfway across the pitch, weren't they?
Yeah.
And the goals were scored at that end. And, you know, the way soldier, and of course, they're quite close to the pitch there as well, because it's a new stadium. And the way that unity spilled over in that moment, and it did when Ken scored as well.
Yeah, it was
that
huge.
Unity, it was just an extraordinary thing. Blakey, I did a after the game, all the Southampton fans had disappeared. I was still in the press box area, and there was, I don't know, about 1,000 of the Cardiff, of the 3,000 Cardiff fans left, and I took a quick video of them singing the Salah song.
Yeah.
And I put it out on Twitter, and within 40 hours, I had 160,000 views, Don. Mm. I was getting likes and retweets from people all over the world. Argentina,
absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
You can see how that Salah tragedy and Cardiff's dealing with it has just captured the, you know, just captured people everywhere, not just here or in the UK.
I think it's the you look at the circumstances and you think, like we've said, I've said, being a young man, having children myself, and having 20-year-old kids myself, you know, it's beyond your thinking. So when it happens, I don't think anyone, whether you're 16 or 60, you know, I don't think anyone can find it in themselves not to have a lot of empathy for that situation. Do you know what I mean? And right now, it seems like this, it's like a momentum thing that's growing. You know what I mean? It's like giving you added belief. It's, if you believe in God and church, you think, is this guy shining down on us? Is this guy, you know what I mean? It's that sort of feeling, like a wave of emotion.
Well, certainly.
And I just think it's superb, mate. I really do. I love it that it's over and above football.
Dom, can I just come back to, you know, Blake had mentioned Bamba earlier. I've got to do a shout out for Manga, who is another.
We've said though that, but partnership.
He was brilliant.
I gave him a man of the match actually.
Him and Bamba, you know, it just looks
Peltier,
so good. Peltier, who was coming for
mate,
a lot of criticism, right?
Yeah,
excellent game. Joe Rowles coming for a lot of criticism.
Yeah,
not least from a couple of people on this podcast.
Not one person.
Excellent.
It was just a great team performance, wasn't it?
Bennett had a really tough start, I thought. Again, grew and grew. He's really growing into that role as left-back, and this ridiculous suggestion Cunningham should play ahead of him, I think, has been well and truly buried now. I just think that that defence has always been... I know you say, well, they're not up to it at this level, those defenders. That defence has always been the foundation on which all Warnock teams are built with hard work.
Yeah.
You had the sudden goal threat now that Nias, Reid... and hopefully Ken are offering, and there are genuine reasons for optimism.
Yeah, you've got to be careful though, Paul, because what I did when I did watch the game, I did see that Cardiff were basically going into a back six, weren't they?
Yeah,
because they do that on occasions.
Yeah, Peltier would tuck right. It was a lot of occasions though, on what I see. Peltier was tucking in as a right back. next to a right, like another centre half.
Yeah, Patterson was
dropping back, and the same on the other side. And it worked, right? But I'm saying there's a lot of possession to give away. And once or twice, what would happen was because Peltier was tucked in too much, right? He would be the first man to go out and engage, like Redmond, who was coming from the right hand side, making a run across. He would go out and engage. Well, that should be your Goodison go out and engage, right? Because then what happens is they were still, even though you got a back six, they were still able to get in behind us and get crosses of the ball. So in all the euphoria about the great result and all that, there's still, I still looked at it and there's still stuff that, there's still things that we need to work on and make sure, right, make sure that doesn't happen. And they're only little pelts. Don't, when you're tucked in and a back six, if the midfielder runs across, mate, ask for one of the midfielders to go out and engage him, right? Otherwise, once you go out, that kind of leaves Patterson in no man's land because he's wide, he's not tucked in, and it allows balls then to be played inside Patterson rather than outside Patterson. So while we're all on a high about the result, there still are things that, from my perspective, I would look at and still say, right, this needs adjusting, that needs adjusting. But a wow result, mate.
Fantastic stuff, fantastic. And it's a bit of a shame that there's a break now, really, with FA Cup action. But Cardiff will obviously take that confidence with the relegation picture now slightly changed. We're going to discuss that relegation battle after a short break.
Subscribe to The Boot Room on iTunes or listen on walesonline.co.uk.
What a set of results it was. And it seems, Nathan, like all the teams in the bottom half of the table, or bottom six, seven, apart from Fulham and Huddersfield, who will probably, can say safely, are probably cut adrift now. Mm. Everyone else seems to be getting good results, though. Newcastle really should have won against Wolves. I thought that they were very unlucky the last minute.
Keeper should have punched it.
Equaliser, yeah. Well, you should have put it somewhere. Burnley got a great win, and Brighton seem to be getting sucked into the mix.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see the relegation battle as it is now? It's obviously one place that people are fighting to avoid.
Yeah, do you know the beauty of it, Dom, is we're not cut adrift, and we're not in the bottom three. And I think most people, if you had said the two teams, they would have said Cardiff and probably Huddersfield.
Yeah, and right? Then someone else.
Yeah, yeah, because I didn't think Fulham would be where they are, although I thought their changes was a bit too much too soon, so there was always the chance. But the fact that Cardiff aren't in that bottom three, and they're not just not in the bottom three, they're mixing it. Yeah, they haven't changed their style of play, right? And now they've got, in the ass, they've got someone who's that workhorse that you need up front to stretch and run and stretch, which is only going to bode well for Cardiff. It's only going to give them more opportunities, more respite, because when you've got someone who's running and stretching, you know, wins corners, wins throw-ins in the final third and what have you, as a back four, you're able to get up, you're able to press the game. So I don't think, listen, if you said to me, right, Nath, pick someone out of Southampton, Cardiff, Brighton, Crystal Palace, mate, honestly, I just say I really, really don't know. But the fact that we're sat on how many points now?
25.
You know, there are people saying with doubt we get double figures. Right? Double figures. And like I said, we got, what was it, 18 or 19 points from the first 17 games. And we basically gave away the first five.
It
was like from 12 games. So like we said, if we can repeat anything like that, but the first five games, pick up 3 or 4 points, we're in the mid-30s.
We talk about empathy that people have for Cardiff, and maybe the pundits have had for Cardiff, because I've noticed that in the wider press, Match of the Day, Cardiff are starting to get a lot more praise from the pundits, who are starting to believe they can stay up.
Absolutely.
I don't actually think that's just empathy, understanding of Cardiff's difficult situation. I actually think it's footballing, and they're seeing that Cardiff can really upset the apple cart.
Well, what Cardiff haven't done, like I said, they haven't changed, they haven't tried to become something else. And like we said early on in the season, they have to do what they've done last season, but they have to do it better.
Yeah.
Right? And they're tighter, they're conceding less, they look like a better unit. I think the Morrison and Manga situation, I think it's something we all crying out for. And I think now you're seeing the best of that sort of partnership. I think that's really important. So, you know, there's so many ticks now. Goodison, I think, is playing really well. Etheridge is probably player of the season for me, along with Bruno Manga. You know, Bobby Reid coming to form on top. Zaha back on form. Nias, he's going to get you goals, and he's going to, you know, like I say, run channels, work, give you opportunities elsewhere. You know, you almost forget, like, your Højlunds and Murphy.
Oh, so there's three people left on the bench at the weekend. Højlund, Murphy and Mendes-Lang.
Right, the three wingers that we all say we need.
Yeah.
But, you know, Patterson gives you that work, that balance, that bite, you know, that aerial prowess. It's. I just don't think certain teams have worked out the fact that Cardiff are still going to stick to what they do. And, you know, try and do it better than what they were doing it. And it's taken time, but
I think, you know, they have developed a little bit, and players like Arthur and Camarasu in the middle, Bobby Reid, the way he can pick the ball up in the pocket.
They're better.
But yeah, they've developed it. They've taken better. It on a little bit.
Yeah, it's not absolutely. Complete, they're not 20 passes a goal.
They're never going to be.
Yeah, but don't get it twisted. That set up by Camarasa for Zaha, that's not, you know, I'm telling you, there's plenty of players above us in the league, in midfield, who wouldn't have set that ball up that way and got that opportunity. And that's why I'm trying to emphasise it. It was only little, but it was a thing of beauty.
On the other side of the coin is there's plenty of players who wouldn't have kept it alive with such sort of intensity and temerity, like Callum Patterson did, heading it back into the mix and just keeping the ball alive. Yeah. Costs Arthur going for a shot to keep it alive
absolutely.
In the setup.
Absolutely.
So.
And that was after Patterson had put in an average cross.
Yeah.
But he put it in, comes back out, bang, I'm straight back into it. And, you know, you win the first, you win the second, you tend in the box. If you win the third, you tend to score.
Yeah, well, it happened, and Paul's still smiling now from
just get that out. I forgot about Patterson heading it across.
Yeah,
terrific world power. You're right. In terms of the relegation battle, it was a bit of a dampener to learn that Burnley had beaten Brighton as we were driving home. I think it was
3-1, wasn't it? Yeah, check my phone.
But that sucks. Brighton. Brighton are 2 points ahead of Cardiff, Blakey. Mm. So nobody's going to convince me Brighton are not in this mix at this moment in time.
You know, I've got to go their away later
you know,
in the season.
I keep hearing, you know, from Palace and 13th, any of these teams could go, and that includes Cardiff, right? I keep hearing Palace have got Zaha, they're too good to go. Brighton have got too many good players, too good at home. Burnley finished 7th last season, they're too good to go. Mm. Newcastle have got Rafa, they're too good to go. Mm. Well, Cardiff have got Unity, you know, so... Mm-hmm. They've all got strength.
They've got strength, they've got power, they've all got unity.
They've all got strengths, they've all got weaknesses.
And they've got a wily old manager too.
Yeah, I think Huddersfield and Fulham will go. Those ones I've mentioned, plus Southampton, it's any one of them. And I do mean anyone. Mm-hmm. Now, I think Palace will get out of it. I'm not as convinced any of the others will get out of it.
Well, Southampton got the best running. Yeah. I had a look at this program about a month ago.
They didn't look that special on Saturday.
Yeah, but their last 10 games, if you gave them, I would take their last 10 games over anyone else in the bottom 4 or 5. Yeah.
Cardiff have got a horrible April.
They've got a really, really difficult. That's
it's got to be done for Cardiff, really, in the next 5 or 6 games.
Well,
they've
got to go to Old Trafford as well, then, didn't they?
Yeah, that's it. You wouldn't want to have to win there to stay up, would you?
I wouldn't mind going out there to take a point to stay up, though. I would take that.
It could be possible.
But do you know the great thing is that we're talking about this, we're deep into February now, and Cardiff aren't even in the bottom three.
No, and they don't. Do you know what?
They really have been.
They don't look like they're going to fall into the bottom three.
I think that's an extraordinary thing.
Well, after that game Saturday, and after Brighton's defeat again, once teams go in one direction, and there's one or two teams come in the other direction.
Yeah.
Right? And that is, psychologically, you're out of the bottom three, you know you're playing well, you know you've got a bunch of boys who will, you know, hot coals, brick walls, you name it, will do it. Right? That is more than, you know, a lot of teams. That sheer determination will carry you a long way.
What Cardiff got to realistically get to, Blakey, points-wise?
I would have said at the start of the season, I was saying probably 32, 33. I reckon realistically now it's going to be probably Southampton picking up, Burnley picking up. I reckon it's going to be 35, 36.
I think it might have to be a bit more than that because Fulham and Huddersfield is just going to be so cut adrift. But let's say, for example, it's 38 points, yeah?
That's, oh, you still have 138.
That would be... Yeah,
okay,
would,
well, let's say 30, yeah. Let's say 38, Blakey, yeah? Yeah? So...
Cardiff on 25, so they need, yeah, they need 13 points.
13 points. That's not beyond them.
From 12 games?
That's three wins or so three wins and four draws or...
Four wins and a draw.
You know.
I think the, you know, the likes of what we got next, Watford.
Watford and Everton.
Yeah, Everton in a short space of time, isn't it?
I think that'd be a real tricky game, but we're at home. Everton, will, you know, if you approach that game and say, we're going to give you nothing, right, is Niasse eligible for that game?
I don't know.
He won't be able to play against them, though, because it's his parent club, so you probably have to see Zahora or maybe read it on his own.
But Everton are in a real struggle at the moment. Wolves, okay, good season. West Ham, never sure. But then you got Brighton before you got Chelsea again. So you got one, two, three. You've got five games there where you're more than capable of a win or two, possibly even three. Right? So that's how I look at it. I look at it like, you know, can you get to 28, 30 points by the end of that run of four, next four or five games? Come on. You most certainly can.
It's just great that that's so possible.
Even if you go three draws in there.
It's so doable.
Absolutely.
And even if Cardiff don't do it, they've pushed it almighty close. They've done themselves real justice. And there's no point talking like that and being resigned to it, because they put themselves in a really good position to stay up. And I'm sure Warnock will be absolutely gunning for it, the way he's trying to prove people wrong this
absolutely.
Season.
Absolutely. I mean, you mentioned the pundits, but that will apply to the other managers as well. You know, Cardiff, deep down, they won't say this publicly. Of course, they won't disrespect a fellow Premier League team.
But they were all banking on us.
Cardiff would have been
Your banker.
Rock bottom.
There's your second banker,
Huddersfield just above them. Yeah.
But that's why I feel Cardiff and Warnock have got more to win out of this situation, really, because they want to prove those pundits wrong. Nobody really expected Sean Dyche, Rafa Benitez to be relegated this season, whereas everyone expected Neil Warnock and Cardiff. So Cardiff got so much to gain from proving everyone wrong.
And what do the pundits know?
Well, what do we know? That's probably the more pertinent. Judging by your 45 predictions, Blakey, you're not speaking.
I'm not a gambler.
It's a little bit below the belt.
I just felt uncomfortable with Blakey praising my appearance earlier.
I thought it was your younger brother.
I had to get an insult in.
Dang.
Well, let's have a short break then, and then we're really going to test Blakey's punditry knowledge with some Ask Blakey questions.
You're listening to Blakey's Boot Room from Wales Online.
Right, Blakey, questions pouring in as they usually are, and one we've touched upon, but I feel we should probably address in a little bit more detail from Kirk Tasker.
Okay.
He says, do you see a place for Sean Morrison to get back into the side now? And if so, how would we get him back in?
I think there's a place for him in the squad, but I think I've been on record. I'd be hypocritical of me now to say I think he needs to come back in as centre half. Listen, if you're playing three centre halves, I think you can fit him in. If you're playing two, like I always say, I don't believe in sentiment when it comes to football. I believe in winning games, and I think the best way to win games is with Bamba and Manga. I've said it since day dot, so you know I can't change tack now. Even though Sean's captain, sometimes you have to accept that you might be the sacrificial lamb.
But you know, when you talk about the fact that Pelty was playing slightly narrower, and he hasn't really played as a genuine
right back
as he's sort of tucked in a bit. Mm.
That's when Patson's playing before Murphy's.
Yeah, Patson's playing as a wing back type,
right?
Rather
Neil
than a
trusts
right
him and relies on him. Knows he will do the job. Doesn't hope. He knows.
Is there a chance then that Morrison can come back in that way and he would be...
as a right-back.
Or Manga plays in that sort of narrow right-back role and Morrison plays in the middle and Peltier drops out?
Yeah, I just thought that narrow right-back role was because you're playing a back four and then saying to your two wingers, you know, drop in. It's a hell of a shift for the wingers. But I still think there was work to do on it and I wouldn't want... I don't think it's the way forward. I think... away from home, if you're under pressure, it's something that teams naturally drop into that lower block, right? But what Cardiff done was drop into that lower block and bring their two wingers right in alongside their fullbacks. But it's not every day you're going to get, you know, 14 opportunities against you and only get one goal. So on another day, four goals go in, Cardiff are in deep water. Do you understand me? So you don't encourage that, Dom.
It's not something they should set out.
No. It's not something you start out doing and say, right, we've stumbled on a great system here, because, you know, there's too many good teams in this Premier League that if you give them that much possession without actually counter-attacking them and saying, right, our wingers are going to drop back as full-backs, yeah, you'll lose a lot more than you won't pick up as many points. You'll do it here and there, but I felt it wasn't how they started. I felt it was just a natural progression that, you know, they've probably been told when the wingers, if you needed, you've got to get back in.
And when the pressure increased, they probably
And when the pressure increased, yeah, you know, and that's team ethic, that's team spirit. I know I'm going to go and help Peltz. Yeah, Peltz is tucked right around, so I'm going to come back and sit. You know, I thought
we know what Peltz is going to do, don't we?
And he did nail someone as well, Peltz.
Fantastically,
I did see a few people limping.
It was a classic Peltz tackle. I remember in the first half, wasn't it? Went absolutely through someone.
I think he will come back in, though, Dom.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Morrison?
Yeah, I think so.
I think you got it. I think
he's a huge.
It's a big gamble, though.
No, I know, but
it's a huge gamble, mate.
Nathan, I'm not saying it's the right thing. In fact, I think it would be the wrong thing to do. You know, like you, I'm a firm believer in the Manga Bamba partnership at this level, but I can just see him.
I can't see. I think
bringing Morrison.
I think Morrison's injury has probably done Neil what he was probably wanting to
do,
or knowing that he had to do. Right? I think a bit of a blessing in disguise. It's not that Morrison isn't fit to play in this league or anything like that. I'm just saying the best partnership, in my opinion, would be those two. And I think Neil knows that that is the best partnership. You know, Manga can't move and play arguably player of the year right back and then move into centre half, continue that sort of form, and then you say, right, have you got, mate, that hat, as we always say, goalkeeper, two centre half, centre mid, centre forward, that wins and loses leagues, games, whatever you want to put on it. And now Cardiff have Everidge, who I'm sure most Cardiff fans, the saves he's pulled off this year, you've got to start looking at him as a marshal, right? He's been up there, fantastic. Morrison played his part along with Bamba and Manga. Yeah, Gunnison, huge. Camarasa played his part. Riles has played his part. Straight down
the middle. Can't discount Arter as well.
Arter's played his part. And now you've got, you know, a striker, which is where we've struggled most of the season. So you've got a heart now that I wouldn't disrupt, mate.
I hope you're right. I'm not convinced.
Well, along those lines, Blakey, Emir Wynne-Jones is asking about how you fit in certain players who, such as Camarasa, he's named, who wasn't in the starting team at Southampton.
Mm.
How do you fit in Bakuna, who I thought came on and did excellently at Southampton? Players we've already mentioned, how do you fit Josh Murphy back into the team?
Yeah, well, you don't, Dom. What you do, you go with either the team that started or the team that finished, right? And that's how it works, you know. Just because they won that game, you got Watford at home now. If they lose 3-0, what we're gonna say? Right, how do we get Bakuna out? How do we get him out? It doesn't work like that. You know what I mean? I always say horses are courses. You've got to be unpredictable. You can't be predictable in this league. Right, you've got to be able to throw curveballs at teams and different shapes, different systems, and players have got to know and understand that they need to be, you know, really, really intelligent and up to speed.
You have an inner squad
with different,
and you
absolutely,
use that
absolutely.
You
but you know, you're not going to play. For instance, you're not going to play. You know, someone who is slow at right back if you know they've got a lightning winger. If you've got a lightning right back who has played his fair share of games, you take the horse for the course. Do you know what I mean? You would put in a lightning fullback to go up against a lightning winger. It's as simple as that. So it's a mix and match situation. What I will say is the squad is better.
A lot deeper, isn't it? Yeah,
a lot deeper.
It feels like there's more options.
Right.
Along those lines, I've got a question. Go on, Paul, you ask yours
it's not a question. Just to emphasise that point, when the team sheet came out about 2 o'clock on Saturday, the bench had Zahor, Camarasa, Murphy, Hoyler, Mendes Lang, plus Bakuna and Smithies.
Mm.
Blakey, I've never known a Cardiff bench as strong as that, ever. Ever.
I did when I went up to see the judge one time in Cardiff.
Let's move on. Next.
Time for another question. This is a slightly tongue-in-cheek one, for, I think, from Rez Davis, who's a regular contributor. He says, who does Nathan think will finish below Cardiff this season? Fulham, Huddersfield, and who else? That's a bit of overconfidence there from Rez. But if you had to say one team right now, if you're going to finish in that third relegation spot, who would you go for? Putting you on the spot here, Nathan.
I would go, right now, I would probably go for the team that are sitting there right now.
Southampton?
Yeah.
Very interesting. Mm. We'll have to see. Great questions as always. Let's have another short break and then Nathan will be back with his 45 predictions.
Got a question for Blakey? Tweet us at Cardiff City Live.
So, 45 is our new predictions game. This is your chance to win £25,000. You can find the link to enter on the article of this podcast. Nathan, this week it's FA Cup action, so no
Cardiff
game.
Did I win 25 grand last year? Last week, sorry.
No. You would have received. I would have given you a little cheeky text to say you'd won if you'd won 25,000. Okay. Unfortunately, but here's the five games then, Nathan. FA Cup clashes, and then we'll talk a little bit after that about Cardiff's two upcoming games against Watford and Everton. So the first one is a London derby in the FA Cup fifth round, Wimbledon Millwall. So League One against the Championship side.
At Wimbledon.
Yes.
They won last night as well, didn't they?
Two historic old clubs, isn't it?
Wimbledon won last night, didn't they?
Yeah.
They've been struggling at home, though, haven't they? I'm going to go Millwall, because I think they've struggled at home. I'm going to go Millwall.
Scoreline?
I knew you were going to say that. 2-1.
2-1 Millwall. Here's one to really test your credentials. Swansea against Brentford.
Oh, gosh, that is a 50-50 game. At Swansea...
Can you really say a Swansea win on a Cardiff City podcast as well?
No, I don't. To be fair, I think they go in, they're kind of inconsistent. And so are Brentford. But I probably would shade Brentford just.
Right.
No, I actually really can't give you a... Because Brentford not a great run
either.
Swansea on a better run than Brentford.
They're both inconsistent sides, aren't they, in the Championship?
Okay.
I'll put it down for a draw.
Toss of the coin. Brentford.
Brentford. Score?
2-1.
2-1 Brentford. Here's one that might be easy to call, despite your loyalties to one of the sides. Newport against Manchester City.
Newport 6, Manchester City 0.
I'll go with the Man City win. Man City win, but yeah. How many goals are you giving them?
To be honest with you, I think it'd be a bit of an exhibition this game. I really do. And that's no disrespect to the Port. I think they've done fantastically well. But you're dealing with an animal way up and above what you normally think. You know, where you play Tottenham and Leicester, you can get to the tackle, you're going to nick the ball. I'm telling you, against this team, it's different again. You know, this is like playing against an international team. So, you know, if Newport can get anything out of the game, they've done fantastic, but I can't see it. So, score? 4-0.
4-0 City. Mm. Interesting game, this one. Bristol City, Wolves.
Bristol City,
an absolute flyer. Yeah, Ashton Gay, they're an absolute flyer at the moment. The seven-side rivals.
I'm going to go Wolves 2-0, because I fancy Wolves for the FA Cup. They're one of my top three for it.
An interesting call. And Doncaster Crystal Palace is the final one.
Donny are decent at home, but I go Palace, because Palace always let me down, don't they?
Well, they're playing the lower league team now, so you've got
I go
chance.
Palace 2-0.
2-0 Palace. So five aways, Nathan's called there, interestingly. So
£25,000
worthy.
When you put it like that.
I can't argue with any of your predictions, to be fair. Mm. Well, let's have a quick chat ahead of Cardiff's next two home games then. You mentioned Watford briefly before and how you think it'll be a tough game.
Yeah.
But is it one of those ones a bit like Bournemouth, a bit like Brighton at home, where Cardiff might just find a way against one of these
Well,
teams?
I think it's one of them payback situations, because they really gave Cardiff like they're probably the team this season, the one team, obviously not taking away the top four, they done the Cardiff lock. I haven't seen a team do that. They really, you know.
It was my least favourite game of
yeah,
the season.
They absolutely
it was cold, rainy,
us.
And
yeah.
Watford
were brilliant
them, yeah.
And Cardiff were really poor. So the run Cardiff are on at the moment, I think on Watford, they'll probably be still riding high from their weekend's result. But I fancy Cardiff to little payback here. I fancy Cardiff to at least get a point at the game, if not a 1-0 win.
You think from those two games, would Cardiff take 4 points now if you offered them?
Yes.
Draw and a win?
You wouldn't have any hands left, Dom.
No.
Yeah, I'd eat them as well.
Three? Would you take three from the two games?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah. If we're sat on, like I said, if we're sat on 28 points
in two
or
games
more
time.
In 4 games' time, I think psychologically that is just, if you can get a win in the next two games, I think psychologically that just, it's a turbo boost again. You're starting to think we're almost at the magic 3-0, and no one thought, probably the players thought they would struggle to get the 30 points, right? But you're on the cusp of it then. So for me, if they can get a win in the next two or three games, look out.
Yeah, I think 3 points in the next two games would be a good return. Paul, how do you see these next two? They're both losable games, you should probably say that as well, because these two are no slouches in the middle of the table, are they?
No, Everton are in free fall though.
They're struggling massively.
You know, I even had somebody on to me saying that Everton could be relegated. They can't be, but they really are in free fall. Mm. You know, they're.
Look at their players though, Paul. I don't think.
Yeah, but players with that confidence, Dom, is, you know, and Everton is probably, I'll tell you now, it's probably the most difficult ground to play at home because their fans are fused, sure, right?
They have to deal
with what goes on across the other side with the Reds, right, being the bigger club. Everton fans still remember the 80s when they were the biggest club. Or winning 70s, 80s when they were winning leagues and European trophies. Liverpool come along with that ridiculous run where they just cleaned up everybody for years and years and years. But Everton see themselves as an equivalent to Liverpool. They aren't, for me. I think Liverpool are the biggest club, but Everton fans, it's a very, very different. Whenever I played there, you know, if you get on top of Everton in the first 10 minutes, their fans just switch.
Cardiff had a home night game this season.
They've had a Friday night game, but they haven't had
a midweek game.
But these next two are both night games at home, which should be, the atmosphere should be fantastic
so
at Cardiff
Watford
City Stadium.
One is, what time is the Watford kickoff?
Well, it's on a Friday night because there's that egg-shaped game at the Millennium Stadium.
Yeah. We had plenty of them last season in Championship, Paul.
Well, let's go around the table before we finish then. How many points will Cardiff get from these two games? Paul, start with you.
Oof.
How many points will they get?
Crikey, that's a hard question.
That's a great question.
That's a hard question.
That's a great question.
Bear in mind, I will be bringing you back up on this in a couple of weeks' time.
I think they'll get a point against Everton. So, what happens in the Watford game? Cardiff don't do well on a Friday night, do they?
I'm going to go 4 points, this is mine.
You're saying 4 points?
Yeah, I think they'll draw against Watford and beat Everton.
Interesting call. I'm going to say, Marcus Paul's taking it. I'm going to say 3 points. I actually think they'll lose to Watford.
And beat Everton.
Mm. Yeah, because I think Watford are improving side.
Mm. And Gilfie's got to come, in. That'll be a great day for Gilfie coming here.
He'll be getting in
there. He won't get much stick, will he?
He'll be getting more than Nathaniel Klein got a couple of weeks ago when he came back to Cardiff after turning down a move.
Yeah.
Paul, finish with your prediction.
No idea. Let's move on.
Come on, Paul. You've got to play the game, man. The fans expect it. Come on. Come on. Chimon.
4 points.
4 points. An optimistic finish to the podcast.
Why not?
Lovely stuff. Well, thank you both for your contributions today. Remember, head to @CardiffCityLive on Twitter to ask Nathan a question. Thanks for all those today. Of course, you can subscribe and listen on iTunes, Spotify, Wales Online or Acast. From the three of us...
Bluebirds!
Thanks for joining us and we'll be back soon.